been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast.
Overcast.
Joining me, as always, he's back from Miami. Josh, what's going on, man?
Bro. It was Overcast down there. No sun.
Nothing?
Bro, we didn't even set foot on the beach.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds
terrible.
And
not that we were busy. Yeah, it was crappy weather. I mean, it's Miami. Can't complain. I was away from home, not working, enjoying it. But we got there Friday night, you know. We get there at, like, you know, dusk, so we went out. Saturday, it was, like, raining on and off, cloudy, couldn't go on the beach. It was really windy. Sunday was the only time we got to see the sun, and the rainbow was the evidence of that if they showed it on TV. Which I heard they probably did, mm-hmm. and we got, and they even showered at the team, obviously, and then all day Monday, it was just monsoon rain, so we didn't get any sunshine until I woke up this morning and went to work.
Wow, that sounds, yeah. I mean, at least you weren't, you didn't have to work, and you were, you know, traveling around, but geez, that sounds pretty rough. That's a gloomy vacation. You never want to see that.
And the added worst, get this, okay, got his backstory for you. Last year, we always wanted to see LeBron James play in person, so me and my friend, we bought tickets to the Wizards game last year, okay? And this was like maybe a week before the playoffs started, and the Heat were going for like to improve their position seating-wise. So I'm like, okay, they're going to play. Nothing came about on social media, website, ESPN, nothing. No, not even the Cleveland – well, this time it was the Miami Heat. But no, they – but – no point did the Heat say on their website, oh, LeBron's not playing. Apparently, we bought the tickets. We paid $300 a piece to sit like 10 rows behind like the bench.
Jeez.
Yeah, to get that close to LeBron. We were on the subway, the tram to get down. You know how it goes into Verizon Center. You've probably ridden it before.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, many times, right?
Oh, of course.
So we get down there, and apparently, like, LeBron, like, they decided, like, he's not playing. They're going to rest him for the playoffs. He didn't even make the trip. So we paid all that money. Yeah. So, okay. So set the stage before we even break down this Ravens game for the Red Arrow Review. Me and my buddy, this was like maybe a month right before our trip happened. Like maybe, you know, a couple weeks for Thanksgiving, you know, and we're talking and we were watching the Heat play. It was right when the NBA season kicked off and we're like, and it was like the first week in November. And we're like, I wonder if there's a Heat game while we're down there so we can go watch Miami play basketball while we're at Miami. So lo and behold, the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing on Saturday night. Oh, LeBron's coming back. Oh, we get to see LeBron, and we get the Ravens. It's going to be a great weekend. Okay, so we went out, and I'll set the stage there. But we basically, Friday night, we went out and about. We had dinner. Saturday, we slept in. We went out and about, did the same thing again because it was raining. And then Saturday night, we drove to the game. So we get all the way down, like two blocks from the arena, right downtown Miami. Okay. We're looking at the park. So my friend texted his friend texted him and said, LeBron ain't playing. But I thought he was joking. So I was like, dude, get out of here. He's joking. So he goes, nah, legit. He put up Facebook. It was on ESPN. Apparently, because LeBron played an overtime game against the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans basketball team on Friday night. We were watching the game while you're out, by the way. So, and they played an overtime game because LeBron played so many minutes and overexhausted. He's making the trip, but he's not dressing. It was a coach's decision right for the game. So we buy the tickets again, get shafted. Didn't even get to see LeBron play again. But he was in the building. I got a picture of him on my phone. He was in street clothes on the sideline. So because Heat fans were ragging him, they were chanting, LeBron is tired.
Wow.
And it's all over. Look up the YouTube clip. It's out there. It's pretty funny. So we're sitting there. I mean, we had great seats and obviously the pictures on my Facebook. So Sunday, obviously we wake up for the game. It's overcast. There's no real like threat of rain. It looks like it's going to be a good day, but there's no sun breakage. It's like, I didn't even break out my sunglasses yet. So we go to game. I'm telling you what, tailgating was not like a Ravens game, to tell you the truth.
Well, like before the game on 98 Rock, they were saying how the Miami fans, they're all getting in kind of late for the game, and Jerry Sandusky was like, "This is not a Ravens game. You know, people have not been here since 7 a.m. outside party, and they're just kind of like getting out of bed and rolling over here and coming into the game because they said it's a very lax crowd. You know, they're not diehard fans anywhere around in Miami." And then he said, "And it looks like more than half the stadium is purple today because it was Ravens fans are showing up in droves in Miami."
They were. I got pictures, and I even got the recording of the O. It was pretty loud. And the national anthem. I mean, if you didn't see my pictures yet, Brandon, I posted a picture. We were walking around the tailgate lot, and you seen. Literally, my friend texted me a picture, and she's like, "I feel like I'm in Baltimore, except it's warm and there's palm trees." Because she's like, there was nothing but tailgates, music, purple and black jerseys everywhere, cornhole throwing. And it was like, are you kidding me? And people walking around with like Natty Bows. I saw people with Old Bay cans like back from back home. Like, and it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I feel like I'm back in Baltimore tailgating, and we brought the tailgate to them. But you're right. Like, we arrived there, and it didn't feel like it was going to a football game. Like, it was very like quiet. And we parked on the side of the stadium. We were walking. I mean, you've seen your few select tailgates, man. Like, you're walking through, and you'll see like people like. Like, you'll see them, like, basically, like, they set up the canopy, and they had their, like, tables out. But, like, then you'll get the one that actually had cornhole, and you'll get the, like, people who are just standing around talking. Like, it's not, like, the festive, like you go to Lot H on a Sunday, and it's, like, people are just nutty. So, and I was even talking about it like that. I was like, this doesn't look like legit tailgating. But we get to the stadium, get our seats. It was great, man. I mean, it was great. It was windy. We finally saw sunlight. But, but let's get to it, man. And we should easily be 5-7 or 5-7. I'm over it, man. How many times more are we going to get screwed? How bad was that call? Because obviously it happened on the opposite side of the stadium, how this game started. I knew it was going to cost us the game because it was blatant, and I was waiting for Twitter to break, dude. I think Twitter, my buddy's like – I was like, you're on your phone when you watch the game. I'm like, I can't stay off Twitter because they are really riding this call. And even some CBS Sports line guy said it was one of the worst calls in NFL history, is what he said. How bad was it?
It honestly, that's what it was. It was one of the worst calls in NFL history. Just a terror. I don't know who these refs are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is about this season. That was just a terrible, terrible call. I don't know if the refs aren't paying attention or if they don't even know what the rules are. It was a blatant non-penalty, and it doesn't make any sense of why it was called, but it was called, and that's just the way the game was kind of going, and it's. It was just stupid. I feel as if like you and I could be better refs at this point.
I believe so. I even tweeted that sitting in the game. I can call the game from 200 yards away sitting in the stands in upper level, and I can see that all the way across the stadium. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I even saw that live, and I'm like, the dude just fell down. And I'm like, I was like, I'm waiting for like maybe the defender held him and he was trying to like lunge at him. But like when they called offensive, I looked at my button. We're in a Ravens section. Oh, it was nuts, man. It was like I was back home. Like, they were letting them have it. And then there was, like, these old couple behind me, and they were Dolphin fans. And this woman's laughing, and she's like – and I was fired up. Like, I don't even care if he lost by 20. Like, I was going on for the refs, and that called for about a good 20 minutes till the end of at least the first quarter. Like, every time there was a play stoppage, I was still whining about it. Like, I was like, I'm over it. So I said, I didn't fly away here to watch this game to see us get screwed again, which I knew was going to happen. Like, I was bad, and, like, I was letting the refs have it. And they couldn't hear me, obviously, but I was hot. And the woman behind me is like – guys are intense. She's like, I've never seen it like this. And I literally turned around and was just like, well, you never seen bad calls like this, haven't you? I said, this is bad. And like, she's just like staring at me like she didn't know what to say. So I turned right around and sat down, and I was just like, I was just mad. And then it just kept getting worse. Like, and then, and how about this? But you have to give the special teams another block, dude. What is that? That's awesome.
Another block, yeah, but
and they got taken back.
And it got taken back. Unfortunately, that was the right call, but it sucks. But another block, it was the refs made the right call, but it did look good. I thought that the Ravens were actually going to turn it around. They were going to get the ball and, you know, take it to the other end. But here we go, and after that penalty, then it's a 2-point conversion for the Dolphins to make it an even harder way to get back from the deficit that the Ravens were in. It's
right.
This 100% felt like a preseason game. This was, you know, it was
exactly what I said walking to the stadium, because it was the weather, not the. I know you're talking about the game feel and the starters playing and all that, but I even joked because it was like the subdued. I was on the road, but it's like I was wearing shorts, basketball shorts, and basketball shoes in my jersey, and I felt like I was. That's why I told my buddy, I said, I feel like I'm walking to a preseason game. Like, I'm not even really excited. I'm excited to see my team, but I'm like, I'm not pumped for the game. And it was weird even me saying that. He goes, "You're all right, dude." I'm like, "Oh, I'm pumped. It's hard to get excited. It just really is. I mean, I hate to say that as a Ravens fan, but I was relaxed because I was in Miami and I was like, it was hot and it was really not football. Like, you think of it as a preseason environment, but it wasn't really football weather. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is you're talking about it being overcast and rainy and everything. I think we had better weather in Baltimore because, dude, I put up my Christmas decorations outside on Saturday. I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt and flip-flops as I was doing it. It was like 70 wow. degrees up here. It was crazy. But
that's what I heard. I heard people in Baltimore. It was like 60s. I was like, hey, I get to come back to Baltimore, and it's still going to be warm weather. And then I get off the plane, and it's like – they said it was like 41 degrees in Baltimore, and like, and I felt it. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Well, it's warming up. But anyway, I almost don't want to talk about this game because it was just the Ravens don't have a shot of doing anything this year, and I think the players are showing that. But this is something I want to talk about, and I'm angry at the NFL. I'm angry at the Ravens. I'm just angry for everyone involved in this. That first hit that Matt Schaub got, he was pushed down to the ground. You see his head bounce off the ground, and then he clutches his helmet. That is the definition of a concussion. 100%. That dude just suffered a concussion. This was towards the end of the first half. He gets knocked down. His head bounces off, and you see him grab his helmet, and he gets up, and he goes, no, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Let's keep going. No. Don't let that dude continue to play football because he's got a concussion. They've said that he passed all the concussion tests and whatever, but he should have been pulled the second his head hit that ground.
I saw that. I looked at my buddy, and I'm like, here we go again. We're going to have another Rams thing because I thought they were going to yank him, and I saw Clawson warming up, and I'm like, looking at my buddy. I'm like, are they serious? Is he still in the game? I'm like, I was like, I literally slammed the chair next to me, and I'm like, what else gives? You're going to hurt him. He could hurt his career. And I'm like, I felt bad because I was like, who knows how bad that is? And we're going to see it a lot more prominently because that movie Concussion comes out later this month, and it's been a big topic. So I'm very scared. I mean, yeah, you know what you sign up for, and they're all about player safety, but it's like they need to put better protocols because between the refs' calls and then now this is the second quarterback in how many weeks and involving the Ravens nonetheless who basically are involved in this, and it's just it's concerning because you're putting lives out there at risk now where you're going to put a guy out there and oh, they say he passed the concussion test. Well, apparently the league's saying he's not.
If Matt Schaub passed a concussion test after that hit, then your concussion test is bull. Because that, I'm going to say it again, that was the definition of a concussion. Your head bounces off the ground. It's soft ground. It's real turf. It's been raining. So for your head to hit that hard and bounce off the ground, and then you clutch your head, that is a concussion. It may not be, you know, as serious as, you know, a career-ending concussion or something like that, but that's a blow to the head. That's how you hurt your career. That's how you hurt your life. I mean, it is insane that whoever is upstairs, because there's supposed to be somebody for the NFL watching these plays to identify concussion-like symptoms. When your head bounces off the ground and you clutch your helmet, that is the most basic way of going, oh, that guy's got a concussion. We need to pull him. Something's going on with his brain. they didn't pull him. I really do judge the NFL. I almost turned the game off, to be honest, because I judge the NFL and I judge the Ravens for keeping him in. I don't care what happened next, because after that, Matt Schaub threw an interception and a pick six. And I want to say, you know, Matt Schaub, yes, he has a tendency to do that. That's why he's not a starter. That's why he is a backup. That's what people are worried about for him as a Raven. But put that aside, the reason he probably threw that first interception was due to the fact that he didn't know who he was throwing to, because his mind is scrambled because he just got a concussion. He should have been pulled. I don't want to see a third-string quarterback with the Ravens, but for Matt Schaub's health, for every quarterback's health, he should have been pulled. They should have done a test through and because they do something in the NHL. If they think you have a concussion, they make you go to a quiet room for 15 minutes, and they do a test there. That's what should have happened with Matt Schaub. It didn't happen, and I seriously judge the NFL and the Ravens for not protecting him more. I understand he said, oh, I can go back in, I'm fine, but he's not thinking correctly. You as an organization need to take responsibility, and you need to realize that is a concussion. He needs to sit. He needs to figure stuff out before he's back in there. Two interceptions happened right after that, and that was because of that concussion. I wholeheartedly say, and I believe that, those two interceptions, the pick six, happened back to back, was due to the fact that his head was scrambled. Yep. And he had a concussion, and it is bull that he did not get pulled.
I couldn't agree with you more. Even, I mean, and now looking at the after fact, I mean, I'm not taking back my words because I didn't know, but I kept saying the interceptions were lucky, because it's not like Schaub threw them directly to the guys. His throws were low, but they were tipped. So it's kind of like it was one of those lucky plays where if the tip doesn't go a certain way, it's an incomplete pass, you never know. So it's kind of like, hey, they got a break, and it just sucks that it happened that way. And then the touchdown strike was pretty quick. It was like, bam, bam, Landry made a great play. It was one of the top plays of the week, I think. It was a great athletic play. And you have to – apart from it all, you're right. You know, it's – You want to get these guys hurt, but then if you look at it, the whole picture, you're right. It was a bad game, but what I look at this way, there's a lot of crucial parts that this could have went right. Breaking it down, I mean, you have to look at the overall game. As bad as that was, they were in position to win, and you have to understand, Brandon, they were down 15-0, and they lost the game 15-13. And you have to say these guys fight. These guys are being battered, bruised. Players getting hurt left and right, and we're not mailing it in. This team fights. I know you said it's frustrating to watch. We have a few games to go. You almost don't want to watch it, but it's like, but again, here's another one possession game. We have 12 in a row. We lost by two. And then you figured the goal line stand was a crucial part, because I'm not blaming a bad spot. It was a bad spot, but I mean, you got to punch it in there. Fourth and goal from the 1-2 yard line. Call it. You got to get it in there. Even if you kick a field goal, hindsight 2020, we win by one. Even if, like I said, when Justin Tucker missed the game, it would have been the game winner, and they missed it wide right. I thought they should have punted there because I knew it was too far. I just didn't like it at all. Wanted to ask you this, because the Dolphins played on grass. How about the big announcement the Ravens made this weekend? And I saw that the Ravens are going to natural grass next year, man. What do you think?
I did see that. And I actually was waiting to talk to you about it, because I wanted to know, and for those people out there who maybe they don't know, what's the big deal? Everyone is very much in favor of bringing in the real grass, and they think it's a great thing. Why is it such a great thing? Why is everybody so excited about it?
You think people are excited about the grass?
Yeah, everyone's like, hooray, we're going to have real grass this time. That's great. That's awesome. And I'm like, really? It's grass. Like, what? Why are we so excited about that?
I think it's the way football is being played. I think a lot of people are like, hey, it's grass, it's mud. And like Harbaugh said, it fits the AFC North. I'm kind of half excited about it and half not, but I was talking to a few select people. Maybe that's why the injuries are happening, because the concussions, because it's like rubber versus natural grass and turf. But
right.
The Ravens came out and said right away that it's not due to the injuries, because injuries happen wherever. I mean, Brady tore up his knee on grass. But he got hit into it. But I mean, there's other injuries that happen that, you know, I mean, the Broncos play on grass in Denver, and Manning's got plantar fasciitis. So you can't really say that it's turf versus grass. But the Ravens, if you remember, they opened the stadium with grass and then went to the turf in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So the turf's 12 years old. So, I mean, I like it because the turf's clean. It looks nice. But I think it'll be, like I said, we're a blue collar, town. It's Baltimore. And I think what Harbaugh was saying is the grass fits our personality. And they said they talked to the players and the players were all for it.
Well, one player who might not be all for it, and this is what my big concern was Justin Tucker. You look at his track record this year; he's a little off this year for how clutch this he is. But if you notice, the problems he's had most is in stadiums with real grass. How is this going to affect his kicking game?
It might affect it a lot. But he's had some weird misses this year on turf, so it's really hard to really pinpoint, my bud. But the grass, I mean, you've seen like Aiken was slipping, and I'm like, oh, we want to go to grass, but it adds the element. It's football, and that's the way football's supposed to be played. It's not supposed to be played on in a dome, not supposed to be played on turf. It's go out there and have fun in the mud and grass.
Kind of like they did in Friday Night Lights. What was it, season 4, when they went to the cow pasture?
Exactly. That was one of my favorite scenes.
Wasn't that great? Yeah, they were in it was muddy. It was raining out. Spoiler alert. Sorry, everyone out there who hasn't seen Friday Night Lights, this TV series. If you haven't seen it, you should, because it's amazing. But yeah, I think it's in season 4. The two sides that are up against big championship decide to play in a cow pasture. And I loved it. I thought that was one of the best parts of the series. It was great. And I agree with you. Like the natural grass thing, I mean, it's probably really good for the environment as well. But to have them playing on that, I guess that does kind of give you that that strong nose type of football, which is cool. But it's really weird that Raven fans are kind of getting – that's the most thing they're getting excited about is natural grass instead of what's going on in December football.
Hey, whatever floats our boat for the season, my friend. But I can't wait to see it next year.
Grass, I think that's the way to go. I think it'll be pretty cool. Pretty fun to go to like that movie night they have in August and sit on the actual grass.
Oh, yeah. So actually get to go on the field for grass. I've never been down there.
Yeah. So that would be really cool.
I don't care if it's like Little Mermaid. I'm still going.
I took my goddaughter.
Actually, Ariel's pretty cool. Jasmine's my favorite. Don't tell anybody.
Jasmine's your favorite? Really?
Of course. Yeah.
I'm more of a Belle like man, Belle. You know? I like Belle.
Yeah, Belle and the Beast. You can't get wrong with Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, you gotta.
But I like Jasmine because of the pet tiger, and tigers are my favorite animal, so Raja.
All right, there you go. Yeah.
Plus Aladdin was one of my favorite movies growing up.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, it's classic.
What about Bo Peep? You like Bo Peep from Toy Story?
I don't know about that one. Bo Peep from Toy Story?
I don't know. That might be a stretch.
Barbie doll from Toy Story 3.
Okay. All right. I gotcha.
Man, where are we going with this?
I know, right? All right, so let's get back to Miami. All right, let's get back to Miami.
Back to grass, back to Miami, back to this dismal game. But you were talking about grass and with the scene Friday Night Lights. I was telling you before, I think that's the game, the way the game's supposed to be played. I mean, we talked about, you know, how nice the turf is, and the turf's great. I mean, we have it at my gym on the indoor field. I mean, it's great for its purposes, but I think it's more of an indoor thing. I know, like, a lot of outside NFL stadiums, I think this Seahawk of the turf, a lot of the outdoor venues are starting to become that. Can't remember at the Patriots. I think the Patriots are still grass. Broncos grass. Pittsburgh's grass. Cleveland's grass. I think the Bengals are turf. So I think that'll make, if we go to grass, obviously it's 3 out of 4 that make it in the grass. So AFC North's meant to be like that. I think it just adds to the element, but the element to the game, I should say. My apologies there. And you asked before, will it change anything? I mean, as it is now, I'm interested to see where it goes with the Ravens, because remember, me and you are that infamous snow game. We can never stop talking about that, right?
That snow game is actually 2 years ago today. Funny enough.
Hey, happy 2 years?
Wow. 2 years. 2 years, yeah.
Happened 2 years ago. That's insane, man. I can't believe that happened 2 years ago. Where's the time going?
I know.
December 7th, and we'll never forget that game. And the reason why I want to bring that up is the Ravens, the way their artificial field is, they actually have heaters underneath the field, and I don't know if they're going to keep that with the grass, because it didn't really show it, because obviously the snow was just too intense to, you know, it was too accumulating. But I'm interested to see if they keep that for grass and how it's manicured. But now, just like Cam Yards grounds crews always have to upkeep their turf, now the Ravens got some work to do now on the crews.
Yeah, you know, and if they need a new lawnmower or something like that, and they need somebody to join their staff, I'm available.
And real chalk, we get chalk now.
There you go.
Man,
yeah.
I almost want to go out there and run around.
All right, so we're talking about this is the way the game should be played. this Ravens-Dolphins game is the exact opposite. This is not how a Ravens football game is supposed to go.
But
the defense looked pretty good. I want to say
did.
That.
And they held Tannehill to under 100 yards passing, dude.
That was
186 yards passing, Tannehill like that.
Yeah, that was awesome. The defense looked great, and I always try to bring a shining star, a shining light from all these really bad games, and the defense it was their game this week.
It was, and I've seen the highlights once, and again, granted, I just got back from my trip, so bear with me, guys. I haven't really been as sharp as my research as I have in recent weeks, but obviously, but. Well, I'm going to ask you, Brandon, because it was on TV. The coverage on that touchdown to Landry, was that a breakdown or was that just a great play where it was perfectly timed and he made an athletic jump to get it?
I think it was just a good play. I think he did make a good catch. I think it was covered well by TV. Yeah, I think it was just a good catch.
I think it was too. I mean, from what I initiated the replay in the stadium multiple times, it was a great play. I even said the whole time, fans. I mean, when we turned the ball over and he just went right back down, quick strike. I mean, you can't or win a football game. It's really tough in the NFL. But again, I have to give it to Ravens. I'm going to say this time and again, they're resilient. Whether you believe it or not, another less than 8 points we lose, win or lose by, and. They fought to the end. When they were losing 15-0, I'm like, crap. And then it was like, we're gonna get blown out. We're gonna lose this game by more than 8 points. This is gonna be it. And then they pulled it close. And then they couldn't do nothing. Every time they got the ball, it was three and out against our defense. I'm like, all right, let's go score. And then we couldn't do nothing. It was like it reminded me of the Browns game where it's like, no, you win it. No, you win it. No, it's like it was both teams played equally awful, but. They got the two picks, we didn't, and that was the difference in the game because they put that in the points. It was a pick six, and they got the touchdown right away, so 14 points. That was their 15 because they went for two and got it because we goofed up on that one play. So they were like, okay, we'll get on the one, and they struck it. So that was their it. They didn't get a field goal. They didn't sniff anything. So apart those two plays, we win the game. So, and if you take away our blunder of a call, it's goes both ways. But I was surprised to see this, and I didn't know this till after. Apparently, Jim Harbaugh was on the sideline. I was cool.
Yeah, they said it was his first game this season. He was all in Ravens gear. I think.
Wonder why. I wonder if his team had a bowl game because Michigan, I don't know. Because I know college season is winding down or if not over. So I didn't understand why he was there to begin with unless he was just in the area. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just in the area or whatever reason. They didn't really figure it out until about halfway through the game and they showed him on TV. But yeah, he was there supporting.
He was hiding over there in Ravens. He looks just like his brother. But but apparently I did they show Harbaugh's reaction to the pass interference phantom call because I kept seeing on Twitter it said Harbaugh's reaction says it all and I'm like I would love to see it.
Harbaugh's
but I'm sure
reaction
he was as animated as ever.
Harbaugh's reaction they did show him on there and if you could read lips, there was a lot of mothers that were as involved in what he was saying. There was a lot of F-bombs. He definitely showed he's pretty eloquent with those two words put together.
His brother did it. But someone said if they found his brother, he says, I'm surprised if it was Jim Harbaugh coaching, he'd be running out the midfield. But, I can't stress enough. That was just horrible. And I was talking to fans on social media after the game, and it is league-wide. I mean, I'm not pinpointing the Ravens and saying, oh, woe is us, and we always get the short shaft and this and that. But it happens more often than not for our games. But, I mean, it happens around the NFL. I mean, you've seen it in some of the crucial games. It comes to crucial parts, and it's got to stop, and you're right. I don't know where they come from, but it's a loss. It's pretty much, obviously we're out of playoff picture, and it gets very interesting because I have to ask you this: how about the Eagles game, man? Did you get a chance to catch that after the game?
I didn't see any of that, but I know what happened, and yeah, big shock there. Did not see that that ending coming. Eagles coming out of nowhere.
out of nowhere.
They're the Randy Orton of the NFL.
Exactly. Coming out of nowhere. And, they are tied for first place because some crazy things happened this weekend in the NFL, believe it or not. The NFC East is ridiculous, dude. How about that game last night?
Yeah. Did you see the video that posted up on Facebook of, like, a 10-person brawl between Cowboys and Redskins fans? Somebody got stabbed. at the stadium.
Really?
Yeah, it was nuts. It was not a good place to be last night.
See, and they talk about guns and violence. I mean, we're not turning to the political agenda here, but they talk guns and violence, but then you hear stabbings. Like, you're going to outlaw knives now? Like, let's get real, people. Anything's a weapon these days, so I'm tired of it. I mean, seriously. I could stab you with my car keys, put it that way. I mean, are you going to outlaw car keys now? Make everything electronic? I'm sick of it. No, I did not hear that, and I try not to bear on the side of bad news or anything like that. It sucks, bro, but and whoever's involved, I hope they're prosecuted and they go away for life in prison, and whoever's involved as the victim, I hope they have full recovery. Nothing's really tragic happening, but no, I hate it's guys, it's a game. I mean, I even was joking. We went out Sunday night in Miami to watch the Steelers Colts game, and that was a blowout. And there was, of course, dude, two things. There's a Steelers license plate after the Miami Heat game on Saturday night, and I was like, I can't get away from them. Then the bartender on Sunday night's wearing a Roethlisberger jersey saying, ha-ha, you guys lost, ha-ha, making fun of me. And I'm like, I cannot get away from even in South Florida. It's getting on my nerves.
They never go away.
I can't stand – no. I guarantee you I go fly to Bahamas or something. And there's a freaking Steeler fan in Bahamas.
Are there any Steeler fans actually in Pittsburgh, or are they just everywhere
else? I think
they're
all over the country. But I think Pittsburgh's all the Browns fans. And they all – and all the, and when there's a home game in Pittsburgh – all the out-of-staters flock to Pittsburgh to go to game because it's ridiculous, man.
You know what else
I'm like, I understand Ravens Nation worldwide and all that, and you cannot be – and I understand it. And we have to be careful because I'm sure it happens to us because we have listeners all over the world. I mean, they're not even from Baltimore. They're donating the purple and black, and they support our show. So we can't really – it's a double-edged sword, but it's just a knock on Steelers fans because you know how we love to hate them, and I can't get away from them. But – And we rag on that because of their success, because, you know, it's they won four Super Bowls back before I was even thought of being born. And then everybody's like, oh, Sixburg. Well, you know, four of those championships were won when your parents were little. So I don't even know what you're talking about, Sixburg. Like, shut up. So, I mean, you know, I just hate that when they bring that up. I'm like, we got as many titles as you do in the same amount of time. Like, shut up. So in 20 years, we have two titles. It took you how long to get the next two? Like 30 years. Probably more than that, so I don't want to hear it. But that's beside the point, but yeah, it was kind of funny how – but if you look at it across the board, I mean, the Steelers blew them out. They're in playoff contention. They might win the AFC. The Broncos are the first seed – or the second seed. The Bengals are the first – it's just like ridiculous. And in the NFC East, the Redskins and Eagles are tied for first, and the Cowboys are one game out with four wins. I wish the Ravens were in the NFC East.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, for so many losing records to be number one in their division, and I really don't know what to say to that. It's like there's no. I'm glad the Ravens aren't in this Super Bowl contention here because it would be a little check mark, kind of a little asterisk next to it, going like it was a really bad year just all around the league.
Oh, it was. And imagine if we were really in playoff contention, if we are like 7-3 or 8. You know, it's 8-3 or 7-4, and Flacco goes down, and then we lose everybody, and then we start losing games to get us out of playoffs. That would actually be more demoralizing because it's like we lost everybody and we can't hold the playoff spot. There it goes, where you know, we weren't in it, we were kind of in it, we lost everybody, and then we were on the verge. Now we're not, so it's kind of like it was exciting for a bit, but you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better because our next three opponents are powerhouses to end the year, and actually. The last four opponents for our last four games here in December. December might be called Baltimore, but the teams that we're facing are hotter than ever, and they're all in serious playoff contention, three out of four in the AFC. And we have another contest with Pittsburgh. So it's going to get ugly here, but it's still going to be fun to watch. It's Ravens football. We got three more home games in a row to get to. But with the Dolphins game aside, I had a great road trip, Ravens road trip 2015, to be honest with you. And I'm hoping to, for my home games to get the Snapchat going. I was just in vacation mode, guys, and apologize for that. But I was in vacation mode, and I took pictures from my personal thing and my Facebook and posted them up. But it was just too much because I was trying to take it all in, and then a lot of times it was raining. So like even at the Ravens game, I brought a plastic bag, and when it started raining, I threw my phone in my bag. So I mean, it was just tough to have my phone outdoors and take pictures, and it was a really tough time, but. But it's coming. I promise you guys. Brandon set up for us. We have four games left, and we have three home games. So I'll definitely be sure to get some good stuff for us. And I did post a lot of stuff on my Facebook. You can always look me up there, and I can always transfer some pictures on the call webpage as well.
Yeah, we're on Snapchat now, so check us out, The Call Podcast. We're over there. But, Josh, before we close things up on this Red Eye Review show, Joe Flacco scheduled to have surgery today on his injured knee. It took a while. They said it took a week or two for the swelling to go down before they could even have surgery on him. But we send our best wishes to Joe and hope that works out. Dr. Yep. Andrews is the guy who's doing the surgery, and he does everything for the WWE, everything for the NFL. So he's a great surgeon. And hopefully by training camp or preseason, Joe Flacco's back on the field for us.
Absolutely. And best wishes, Joe. Get ready for speedy recovery. And a few notes we want to close out the show on is, to talk about a depleted team. I still haven't heard any updates on Crockett Gilmore's injury. We're still waiting word on that. I don't know if he's day-to-day or if he's out for the year. But, yeah, give up to the tight ends. It rains and pours, man. I mean, Nick Boyle. What's he thinking, man? 4-game suspension, violating substance abuse policy, NFL. It sucks. Now we had to start sign 2 new tight ends today, and you got that info for us, right, Brandon?
Yeah, and Nick Boyle, just, what are you doing? You friggin' idiot.
You're an athlete.
I don't know what you're thinking with. And Harbaugh came out and said it wasn't a steroid or anything like that. So I don't know what you were on or what you didn't get approved. I don't know if this was like a Halodinata type of deal. But, God, what?
Yep.
You're finally making a name for yourself. You didn't start the first couple games. Now you're on the field, you're making a name for yourself, and you sideline yourself. How stupid are you?
But it's just the way it goes, man.
The Ravens have signed Conrad. I think it's Roland. I'm not positive how to say his last name. He was signed by the 49ers back in 2011. He's played for the Jets, the Colts, the 49ers, and now the Ravens. And then Richard Gordon. He's up on the active 53-man roster. He was drafted by the Raiders in 2011, and he's a journeyman in the NFL. He's played for the Raiders, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Titans, the Chiefs again, the Broncos, and now he's part of the Ravens organization. So really not I'm not really expecting much from either of those guys. They just kind of seem like a body you keep on the practice squad to do stuff. But who knows? I mean, it's any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Everyone can have a good game or somebody's always got something to prove. But due to Nick Boyle and Crockett Gilmore's status of being he may or may not be there. The Ravens have signed some new blood, so we'll talk about them on the Purple Friday preview. But the Ravens are at least they. What? How many 53-man roster? I mean, they got to be up to at least 200 guys that have been on that roster by now. All right, Josh. So I think that's it for this this gloomy show that we've had today. Did we cover everything,
Brandon? We covered this one to the max, my friend.
All right, very good. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you could tweet to both of us. You could tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about The Call and all the other podcasts we do at Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there, as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like The Call Podcast on Facebook, and we'll post funny videos, photos, interesting articles, whatever we find interesting, you will find them on Facebook. Like we said, we are now on Snapchat, The Call Podcast, all one word. Check us out on Snapchat. Josh is always going to every Ravens home game, and he's going to be posting some stuff whenever a new game pops up. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web, say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan through and through. I listen to The Call, and you should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We will be back on Friday for the Purple Friday preview, but did want to send it out there to everybody celebrating Happy Hanukkah to those who were celebrating Hanukkah this week. Hope you guys are having a good holiday season. But Josh, get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, and thanks to all those who endured us through the season. I know it's been rough. We're going through it, man. It's with suspensions and injuries and drama and games coming down the wire and bad calls. I know it's a lot. I mean, it's like, what did we do this year to deserve all this? We just go and win football games, go to playoffs. By goodness, we're not the Patriots. We don't cheat, and they should get all this. But hey, you just got to keep our heads high. We got 4 games left, and our team's fighting. we fight the end, and we're proud to be from Baltimore, and we should just change our name to Fighting Ravens, because that's what we're doing around these days. Is we're hanging on by life support. We're fighting, and we're showing people that I don't care what the record is. We might as well just be first game of the year and going out and playing a football game, because we're taking it to the teams we're playing, and we're giving them our A game, and not letting up. And that's what it's all about in Baltimore. Till then, relax this week. Take it easy until we fly into Purple Friday preview. With that, we are going to fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.